Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
All right, listeners. Well, we're back, and our next guest is Miriam Goodman, and she's joining us from San Francisco, the beautiful city by the bay. And we're going to talk a little bit about too much togetherness. Now, this is a topic that, you know, you're thinking about retirement, and all of a sudden you and your spouse are looking at each other going, now what do we do? And, you know, there's a lot to this topic, and we've talked about this before. You can find Miriam's past interview on ExitCoachRadio.com in the indexes, and I encourage you to listen to that. And I'm really pleased to welcome Miriam back onto the show. Miriam, how are you this morning?
Hi, how are you? I'm just great, thanks. And you?
Doing well. Thank you very much. And a pleasure to have you back on the show. And this is a topic that as I make my rounds and talk to people, they say, I'm ready, but he's not ready, or I'm ready, but she's not ready. And then when they are ready, they don't have a plan. Is that what you're seeing out there, that people are just not planning this out very well?
Actually, you hit the nail on the head, except that sometimes one member of the couple doesn't even think about whether the other person's ready or not. They just say, I'm ready. And, you know, you're talking about people who maybe are a little more involved on this scale because they're saying, I'm ready, and he or she is not. You know, so often people have internalized their plans for retirement for so many years, and they're so much a part of them, they don't think they need to talk to anybody about it. And even if they're sharing that retirement with another person, they just assume that the other person is on the same page, and that's where all the trouble begins. I mean, just like you said, he's ready, she's not. People haven't talked about it, and they think that retirement is just this reward for a lifetime of work, and they haven't sat down to say, well, now that I have it, how am I going to make this important? How am I going to make this what I want? How am I going to enjoy these years? You know, in the past, maybe in our grandparents' day, you know, they retired and then they died. They didn't have that much time to think about it. It was a time to rest, and that was it. Now people are retiring, and they might have 30 years of good health, good mental mm-hmm. health, and they don't know what to do with it, and they haven't really thought about it. And in talking to people, I've found that the sort of the dirty little secret behind all this is that they don't want to think about what comes after retirement. They don't want to think about frailty. They don't want to think about illness. They don't want to think about somebody taking care of them or they taking care of someone else. So, you know, it's fraught with anxiety at the end of it, but there's a different kind of anxiety at the beginning of it.
Well, it's a very interesting point. And having been in the planning business for over 30 years, I can remember some of my clients when I was starting off in their 30s and 30, you know, 35 and 40 years old, saying someday, 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 and someday comes. And it really sneaks up on people, doesn't it? I mean, they all of a sudden, here it is.
They think about it, right? But they think they're planning for it. And I like to tell people, you know, when they tell me, oh, yeah, the first thing I'm going to do is clean out the garage and then the closets. I said, that's not a retirement plan.
It's like a vacation.
If you wanted to do those things, you would have done them already, right? People, you know, have to think about what they have in work. What was their work life? What was rewarding in their work life? And then see, well, maybe I need to replicate that in my after work life. For example, some people really need structure. And when you have a job, whether you're working at home or going to an office or flying around the world, you know, as a salesperson, whatever it is, you have a structure. You know where you have to be, when you have to be there, and what that means. You also have a community. And that's really hard to replicate because, you know, you spend more time with the people at work than you do with your family. And sometimes you have wonderful relationships and you see those same people, you know, in your social life on weekends and vacations and things like that. But once you stop working, that community isn't there anymore. You know, people try to pretend like it is. They go back to the office to have lunch with the guys once a month or once a week or, you know, however needy they might be in terms of community. but you've got to find another community for yourself. And the last thing is purpose. When you go to work, you have a purpose. You know what you're supposed to do. You know when it has to get done, and you know when you have completed your part of the project. Well, in retirement, it's hard to find a purpose. You know, is the purpose to get in shape? Is the purpose to give back? Is the purpose to do something in the community? Is the purpose to spend more time with your family? You have to sit down and talk about that. And when there are two of you involved, you've got to make sure that your purposes either overlap or at least don't conflict.
So, you know, listeners, when you think about it, you don't really have much practice in planning for long periods of time. You plan for maybe a trip, a two-week trip. If you've got a two-week vacation, think about how much time you put into that planning. And now here all of a sudden you're talking about such a long potential period of time. So Miriam, is one of the problems that people just don't have a good tool for thinking through this, and they're it's hard for us to fathom, you know, the next 10 years of no job, that type of thing?
Right. And you know, well, first of all, it's change, and you know that the human body is sort of reluctant to change unless it has to. So there's change involved. But the other thing is it's about communication, and the communication between couples is what I focused on in this particular book. And I think what's important is that each one has his or her own vision, and they cannot say to their partner, "Hey, I love you and everything, but I have no intention of spending 24 hours a day with you."
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's gonna say that. That's pretty painful, and even if you're thinking it. So what happens is perhaps, let's say the woman has been at home for the last few years, and now her husband retires, and she's thinking, "Oh, great, now we can do all these things together." And maybe his vision is, I'll spend some time with my wife and we'll go see the grandkids and everything else. But, hey, I want to work on my fishing, or I want to work on my golf, or whatever it is that I want to do. And that doesn't include her. So how do you bring that into the whole concept of this is what we're going to be doing in the next few years? I mean, the most interesting thing for me is the people who've come to this point where they take separate vacation. No, and in the past, people thought, oh, my goodness, that means the marriage is in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't. It means that the people have communicated what's important to them. And, you know, if the woman is interested in symphony, ballet, art museums, and culture, and she wants to spend some time in New York City where she can do all that, and his idea is relaxing at the lake or at the golf course in Florida, why should the other person feel that they have to go share that experience with him when it's actually antithetical to what they want to do? So it's a difficult transition. It's a difficult conversation, and it takes time to get used to. I mean, you can't just retire on Friday and think Monday morning you're going to know what to do with your life. You know, even if you've written it all down, you need to look at your calendar, and you have to stare at that calendar and say, gee, what am I going to do next Tuesday, and do I have any plans for next Friday? And really think about it. It's a challenge, and it's a new challenge, and it's an exciting challenge for people because for the first time in your life, for many people, you really have control over that calendar. Nobody's telling you what you have to do. You don't have to go into the office. You don't have to make that phone call. You don't have to be answerable to anybody else. Of course, this is all assuming that the people we're talking about have enough money for retirement, and we're not. I don't go into the whole financial side of it because there are at least 10,000 books that already do that.
Well, there's a lot. They may be able to work. They may be able to work part-time.
Right. You know, whatever works. I mean, so many men that I interviewed say, oh, when I retire, I'm going to consult. Well, you know what? You have to make an effort to consult. The jobs aren't going to come to you. And unless you sit down and have an office and have a space and have a resume and a pitch about why you should consult and send it out to people, you're not going to get calls. You know, maybe if you're lucky, an old client will call and say, gee, you know, do you have 2 months to work on this? But by and large, this thing, I'm going to consult, is just like saying, I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah, I think that's why organization score is so big out there. The Service Corps of Retired Executives, they have all
sure.
the, the consulting gigs lined up. You just have to show up, and the people are already there. But it is so what do you say in a situation where you have this couple, and she's expecting that we're going to now spend all this time together and make up for that lost time, and he's thinking, now I can finally work on that project, that new work project I've always wanted to work on. How do they communicate?
Writing a novel or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, first of all, you have to recognize that both of you are a little anxious about this, and you have to recognize your vulnerability and the fact that in the back of both of your minds is that day when one of you might get sick. So you have to take that into consideration when you make the plan. But the most important thing is to say, you know, what are you doing in your life now besides work that makes you happy? And, you know, maybe one of you is really involved in the community and in a political way and volunteer organizations or something like that. Well, you shouldn't have to give that up. You should still be able to do that. I talked to one couple where the woman had retired before her husband. She was very involved in the community and, in fact, was the chairperson of two different events that were coming up 3 or 4 months hence, where she was basically working full-time to make these events happen. And her husband retired and came home and said, look, honey, I bought us tickets on this 6-week cruise. Well, of course, the 6-week cruise coincided with the two events that she was in charge of. And she said, you know, you didn't take me into consideration. Why didn't you think about asking me before you made these plans? You went and thought it was going to be a surprise without any consideration into what's going on in my life. And it was a very, very difficult time for them. It was like he was saying, in her mind, he was saying, oh, what you're doing isn't important. And, you know, that the most important thing is to respect what each of you is doing. That's sort of the key to a good retirement. You can't say that your golf game is more important than her volunteer job. And if somebody's supposed to pick up dinner or get the dry cleaning before it closes or something like that, you know, he can't say to her, well, you know, I've had this game planned for a while. I can do it. You can leave what you're doing and go pick it up. So, you know, it's all a matter of respecting that each of you has chosen how it is you want to spend your time. And all I can say is it has to be respected, just in the same way you might have had this conflict when one of you was earning money and the other wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. So now, how does your book help couples? Are there exercises? Are there ideas?
There are ideas. You should start talking about it in your 30s.
I was going to say.
40s, whatever.
Buy it now.
You know. Yeah, it was interesting. I had just written an article last week on saving for retirement for young people. And my daughter just got a big raise and a big promotion. And so I said to her, so are you going to start a retirement fund? She's 30. And she said, no, I'm saving for taxes. And I thought, well, that's great. You know, she understands, you know, she's got to put away a big chunk of that for taxes. You know, well, at the same time, you know, she should be thinking about retirement. You know, I was talking to her and her husband both. I said, you know, it's time for you to start thinking about saving for a house. Of course, in San Francisco, that's a dream young people never have because things are so expensive here. But, you know, people have to start thinking ahead. You start thinking about your taxes. You start thinking about retirement savings. And then you also have to start thinking about your retirement plan. What are you going to do when that day comes? And more people are retiring early. And they're looking at good health and you know, plans to do things. And if they haven't coordinated with each other, it's really not going to be a happy time. So I talk about all the different challenges. I give, at the end of the chapters, I give people some challenges to think about. And then I think about what happens if what you had planned all along doesn't happen. What happens if one of you gets sick? What happens if all of a sudden you're in charge of your grandchildren? But, you know, if your children get sick or unavailable and you have to raise your grandchildren, you have to really factor in a lot of these things. And the most important thing I tell people is avoid isolation. So many people, when they retire, they think, oh, my God, I don't want to talk to anybody anymore. They hold themselves up in the house with the computer or the TV, and they forget about social interaction. And that's not good for either partner.
It's great advice. You know, there's nothing more sad than talking to a person who's maybe 80 years old in a business, and you ask them, you know, isn't there something else you could do? And they just they've never developed those types of hobbies or social interactions. And it's just like exit planning. We tell business owners the best time to start this planning was 5 years ago. The next best time is now. Start now. Maybe start interacting in a social group now, so that you can continue that activity when you retire and have something to do. And it seems to me like you have this kind of Venn diagram where you have the overlapping circles. You have the husband time, the wife time, and the together time. And if they can plan that out, then they have a chance, right?
Absolutely. And I think it applies to singles as well. Anyone who looks ahead, you know, I find it women, single women, divorced or widowed women, they don't want to retire. They don't know what they want to do with themselves. I talked to one woman who had retired, and she was called back, and then they lost funding, and she was home. She said, I'm not taking a lot of painting classes, but I have to tell you, I feel guilty that 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm at a painting class and I'm not at a job.
Yes.
You know, and they feel like they're playing hooky or something, you know?
Right.
And I mean, this happens whether you're part of a couple or not. And it's important for you to think about what it is that you want. And often people don't know what they want. And I sometimes say to them, well, what did you want to do when you were in high school? What was your dream?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for boomers, they all wanted to be in rock bands. You know, every guy said, I wanted to be in the Beatles. And so, you know, it's not too late. You can learn to play the guitar online. You can buy a keyboard and go to their computer and learn to play a keyboard instrument. There's all kinds of things that people can do. You know, maybe you're not going to be out there entertaining at the next wedding or getting a gig at a nightclub, but you're going to get together with friends who had the same dream. You can get together in somebody's garage like you might have done in high school and have a great time. But you have to say, this is when I was happy. This is what worked for me.
Right.
And you have to remember that no one-size-fits-all solution exists.
That's wonderful advice. It's a very individual thing. Reach back into your imagination and figure out what it is that you want to explore. But you're right. I think ingrained in the baby boomer generation was this tremendous guilt that if I'm not doing something productive, then I'm goofing off and somebody's going to catch me. And you know, and it's your life. It's your life. It's your, you know, do what you want. This is not a drill. Go get Miriam's book, and you can find it. Can they find it on Amazon?
You can. It's called Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. You can find it on Amazon. And if you're like me and you want to save the few independent bookstores that are left, you can call the bookstore and they can order it for you.
There's bookstores?
And you'll have it in 3 days. Yeah.
Oh, you're in San Francisco. You still have those things up there. Okay.
Yes,
no, we have a couple of them down here, but they're bigger box. Well, Miriam, it's enlightening. It's great information. It's one of those things that needs to be talked about. It needs to be planned. And thank goodness you're out there putting this information out for people, because this could save a couple. Not planning for it could destroy a couple. We keep hearing the other side of it is gray divorce, and we don't want that. So please invest in your life and your relationship, and go get Miriam's book, Too Much Togetherness, Surviving Retirement as a Couple. Miriam, I want to thank you again for joining us, and I want to continue this some other time, so please rebook, and let's get back into this topic, because I'm sure we can talk about a couple specific exercises next time that will be very helpful for our listeners.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I've been talking with Miriam Goodman. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with another guest. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.